You're listening to Plastic Surgery on Doctor Radio, Sirius XM 81.
Welcome back to the Plastic Surgery Show. I'm your host, Dr. Alexis Hazen, and we are very privileged for the next hour to have a very special guest, SJ, who I'm going to formally introduce in a second. We're talking about transgender issues and surgery and his life story a little bit, and we are I'm really, really honored to have you here, so welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good. He looks great, and tell us a little about yourself. How old are you?
Ooh.
Roughly. You can say decades.
Decades, six. I'll be six decades this year.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
I know, but it's true.
It's really crazy. Okay, so you are a transgender, which means what?
It means someone who believes that they are in the wrong body and has lived in the opposite body for X amount of years, depending on each person, and goes through, I guess, a series, if they can afford it, of surgeries to align their mental being with what they see physically.
And you were born a female?
Correct.
And now you identify and are living life as a male?
Absolutely.
And when did you start having any inkling that you were in the wrong body or that there was something not quite okay?
I think I was probably about 8 years old.
Oh, you were little.
Yes. Little tyke.
Wow. So what did you...
I just knew things were different. I knew that something wasn't right, although back in those days, which is in the 60s, you know, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have a whole lot of...
resources.
Exactly,
yeah.
At your fingertips. So you just went on, at least for me, and as I speak tonight, I speak for me and my experience. Of course, everybody's different, but this is mine. I just knew I was different. I felt like a square peg in a round hole. I started to live a gay life because I thought that's what I was supposed to do in my life because I liked women. And
but you were at eight or
no? Well, not at eight, but you know, as I got older, as I got to be a teenager, and I got to be out on my own. I had, it was just different. I never really fit in that life either. And I had seen things and heard things in my youth of people trying to change their gender or trying to live either A, as a transvestite or cross-dress or do something that resembled the life that they thought or people thought they should live. And obviously, again, I didn't have information at my fingertips. It wasn't probably till the last 20 years where the internet and I could access as an adult all types of literature.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't there to be had. And
so were you depressed? Did you?
I think about that, and I probably...
Because I know you as a very happy person. Like one of the most upbeat people I know. And by the way, for our listeners, because you can't, this is radio, SJ is a very, very good-looking male, and he's extremely handsome, and, you know, is 100% male as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. I'll pay you later for that. But, you know, I'm very happy now. I'm at peace, and that was something that is very difficult to explain to people. You just know... For me, I knew it wasn't right, and I would internally, the way I explain it to people, the best I can, is that I spent a lot of my life mentally and internally mentally perseverating over, I wish I looked like that guy, I should dress like that guy, I should be like that, and why am I looking like this, and I had to, I guess the way I explain it, I had to either stop looking in the mirror, I stopped looking from the neck down. I'm a strong enough individual that I don't really feel that I had any sexual dysphoria around any of this. And I sort of committed my life in the earlier ages to, you have to do the best with what you have. Because again, surgeries and anything of the like was not either tested. There weren't a lot of people out there. There wasn't a lot of information. And I just tried to live the best I could and not let it get in my way the best I could to live my life. And thankfully, I had a family that just let me do what I wanted to do. And I know a lot of people, they just don't have that.
Yeah.
And I think I'm a strong enough individual that most of the people in my family just let me do what I wanted to do because I was going to do it anyway.
Wow. Yeah, you're a strong enough person. You're listening to Dr. Radio. This is the Plastic Surgery Show. I'm Dr. Alexis Hazen. We're talking about, on a very personal level, transgender issues. If you have comments or questions, we will try to answer them. We're not saying we're experts on this. We're just talking from really from the heart. Our number is 1-877-698-3627. So you attempted to live as a gay female, you're saying it didn't quite feel right.
I mean, I was with somebody for over 20 years, which is great, and I tried to live that life, and I tried to be happy, and I thought I was happy, but there was always something that was missing. And she used to say to me, "When is enough enough?" And I realized as I started to analyze that that it wasn't about material things; it was about an internal peace that I just didn't have. And after I started to research the whole transgender issues and what was involved for me to sort of become myself, and I made that decision, and I started taking testosterone, and I just felt at peace. There was such a relief that you can't explain that to people. It was like something was just lifted off of my shoulders, and a lot of things that I would expect to have affected me in my life, they just don't affect me anymore because I'm just aligned.
Yeah.
Perfectly, at least for me.
Right. We're going to come back to that. We're going to take a call now from Ann in Arizona. Hi, Ann. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hi. I have a son who's 22 years old, and he is a cross-dresser. He came to me when he was in high school saying he liked to wear girls' underwear, and I've tried to be very supportive. Now he would like to live as a woman. He says he's not sure if he wants surgery, but he would like to go somewhere and live as a woman. He likes to go out in public in women's clothing, and I don't know the best way I can help him. I think he wants more from me, but I really don't know what I can do and how I could help him. Could you kind of talk about how your family should interact with you and what we can do and what he can do for himself?
Well, Anne, thanks a lot for your call. I'm sure that there are a lot of parents out there who are going through the same thing you're going through, and it's really hard to talk about, and it's really hard to share, and so I commend you for even calling in. And there's certainly no right answer to this question. The fact that you're even looking to do the right thing speaks volumes, but maybe SJ can speak to, you know, how his family was able to help him a little bit.
Well, personally, in my family, my parents are now deceased, and that's also part and part why I waited in my life, just due to my family. Just I think they would have supported me, but I just think I didn't want to be in a position to possibly disgrace them, because unfortunately we still live in that world, and it's a shame, but that's just from my opinion. But the fact that you're behind him, I am sure, I don't know where you are in Arizona, but I am sure that with the internet there are transgender centers, and there's all types of information that is probably readily available to you. There are probably groups. There are definitely, I'm almost positive, there's got to be support centers out in Arizona where you can at least start, and he can see some counselors or some social workers or therapists that can at least talk with him and try and set him in some path and at least go over his feelings, because I know that there's a lot of psychological work that has to be done before you can even begin this process to transform from male to female or vice versa.
And I don't know if he's sure he wants to go that far. You know, I don't know. Because he's very masculine also. He was a Marine. He just got out of the Marines. And he played sports. And he's a very good-looking young man. And he's not sure, I guess. So there are centers that he could go to that would counsel him?
Yes, I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I know that there are transgender centers all over the country. I think you can look it up on the internet, and that's the first thing they would do anyway. You'd have to talk to therapists, and he can, you know, discuss that with him, and maybe he won't go that far. Maybe it's just something he's going through now, and maybe he'll go as far as just maybe possibly cross-dressing, and that may be it.
Yeah, I think the main thing is getting him to talk to people who have similar, a therapist, and then finding a group of people who he can talk to, you know, openly and honestly about this, about his feelings about it. And it may, you know, this type of thing can take all forms, and it may just be a matter of cross-dressing. It may be a matter of really feeling like he's in the wrong body and really seriously wants to transition, which is a long, slow process that has to be entered into very, very, you know, cautiously and with a lot of information. So the first thing is just getting information, and there, and even a therapist who sort of is an expert in this, and there definitely support groups are very, very helpful. There, you know, New York City, there, fortunately, there are a lot of places, but the internet's a good place. There are a lot of support groups actually online, and some of them are great and some of them are not great. I'm not an advocate for anyone in particular, but I think it's just a matter of getting more information.
There's also transgender health conferences. I know there's one in Georgia, there's one in Philadelphia, and I thought somewhere, whether it's the coast or it is Arizona, there's a transgender health conference, and that would be the first thing I'd look up, because that's where you can get a lot of information all at one time at the conference. They usually run a couple days.
Does that help, Ann?
Okay. It does. So go on the internet, look under transgender support or transgender health conference.
Yep.
Okay.
And there's definitely a health conference that's typically every year in the spring in Philadelphia. That's very, they have a day for people who are healthcare providers, a day, sessions for family members, and it's a great resource for information.
Okay. And you have become much happier now that you have gone through the whole process and have become thoroughly a man. You're happy with your transition, right?
I'm extremely happy, and I think some of the people in my life that are around me have said they can't believe how happy I appear to be. I just look happier, and I'm at ease, and I can live my life and not have to worry about things flying around in my mind because I did what I needed to do, and that's off my chest.
Because I know my son is often not happy. So, okay, thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and thanks a lot for your call. You're listening to Dr. Radio. This is a plastic surgery show. I'm Dr. Alexis Hazen. We are live from the NYU Langone Medical Center. I'm talking with SJ about his transition from female to male, and we are happy to attempt to answer your calls. If you want to throw something at us, we'll try. 1-877-698-3627. So you were talking about how when you started the testosterone, it was like something, a weight had lifted from you. So did you have to inject it?
Yes. Well, there are many forms. The form I take is injectable.
That's sort of icky.
Yeah, but there's many things you do to have what you want, right?
Right. And so what did you, did you feel something right away? Did you feel...
In the first, for me, you ease into it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just take the amount that I'm taking now. You just slowly ease into it. And I'd say in the first month or two, it was just like, it was almost, I felt peaceful for me. I felt less tired, which was good.
Really?
Yeah.
I could use a little testosterone. Wait, what do you mean? You said you felt peaceful.
It was almost like...
Because I've heard this from other people. This is not uncommon, what you say.
Well, for me, everybody has different reactions to testosterone. Some people take it in gel, some people take an injection. There's all kinds of ways to deliver
it. The bad thing with the gel, though, is it can rub off on your partner.
Yes, that's true.
And if your partner isn't into the testosterone.
And actually, the injectable form, at least for me, is the most inexpensive, most inexpensive thing going. You just have to deal with a needle, a very large needle, and it's an oil, and it's a slow injection.
Oh, God. See? Now you
stick it in your thigh or wherever. Some people can put it in their butt. I can't seem to get around there. But anyway, it's when you're talking about something that's intangible, it's hard to tell you, but it just feel like my mind just lightened up. I felt happy inside. Mm-hmm. I literally felt happy, you know, because there were days in my life I'd wake up and I'd say, man, I'm happy today. I wish I could sustain feeling. And of course, you know, life gets in the way in general. So,
But you're not, you're wired a happy person, basically, I would say.
Well, you know me as a happy person because you know me in my new life.
Right.
But I mean, you know, and you have to make it that way.
Yeah.
You have to make life that way because, you know, you could either let it drag you down or you just do the best with what you have. And I guess being older, I tried to do the best I could for my life. I wish I was 30 years younger. I wish I could live in this body 30 more years. And
yeah,
it's nice to say that, but you know, at my age, we don't know. You know, 10 years, 15, you don't know what you have life.
Old.
So, I feel great. Okay,
yeah.
You know, you can feel old when you don't feel well, no matter what. You know, but
so you started taking the testosterone.
It'll be 2 years
yourself.
In January. Yeah,
good for you. And then, what changes did you notice in your body?
Oh, plenty. everybody's different, but for me, I actually started to grow facial hair in 6 months.
Your voice changed a lot.
Well, you know, but also being older and being menopausal, my voice changed from that as well. So it was just another hit and just made it even lower.
Wow.
So
is my voice going to change when I go through?
You know it is. No, it is.
God, I can't believe that. That's horrible.
And I started growing hair and...
like in all places?
Or? All places. All places.
Oh, all right, let's leave that alone.
You know.
That can be fixed.
unfortunately, I'm losing hair, which I know can be fixed. I know.
But that's another thing. So testosterone, for our listeners, it does, you know... They
bring out the family genetics.
It does. And so
yes.
If you have a tendency towards male pattern baldness, if you take testosterone, or if you... And good news out there for men who are balding, it means you have higher testosterone levels, so good for you.
Yeah, well, so it's been coming out in droves the last few months.
That's fixable, though.
I know.
Hair transplant, we can do this.
I know. But, you know, that's hard because you watch certain things change. My body shape changed. I'm not heavy to begin with, but there was a time when all my clothes weren't fitting. I lost a lot around my hips, about 3 inches. My feet grew.
Well, wait a minute. Losing weight, that's a good thing, right?
Well, but it repositions. You know, your weight repositions.
Okay.
You start to have that male body. You lose your hips. And then if you have any fat, it'll start to come around your stomach. My neck got bigger and
your feet grew.
My feet grew, yeah.
So that's fascinating because people always...
My height didn't, but my feet did.
Because people always say that your feet, you know, that doesn't happen. But I've seen this with so many people who take testosterone.
Well, and you know, I'm working out. I'm not a gym rat, but I'm in the gym 4 days a week and my body definitely has changed. People...
How many days would be a gym rat? Or 4 days a week, is it?
Well, but that's only an hour at a clip. I'm not in the gym 3-4 hours a day where people really want to have tremendous pecs and they want to, you know, have the six pack. I have like a 4.5 pack right now, but you know.
could you bulk up, do you think, with the testosterone?
Yeah, you can. You can. And, but you know what? The thing I don't have an answer to is being pushing 60. I don't know at that age,
right,
what you're capable of doing. I would imagine that you can, if you're in the gym 3 hours a day, anything's possible. I mean, I absolutely have much more definition than I had maybe 2 or 3 years ago. There's no doubt that my body shape has changed.
You're listening to Dr. Radio. I'm Dr. Alexis Hazen. I'm talking with SJ about transitioning from female to male. If you have questions for us, you can call us at 1-877-698-3627. So has your face changed?
I think it has. I think it has too. See, you know.
Yeah.
I think
your jaw is bigger.
I think it's squared out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's muscles that change in your face, but I looked at a picture the other day, and it has changed. But, you know, people who are living with me through it don't notice it as much. Yes, they'll say, well, you have a beard, you have a mustache, and they notice that part, but it isn't until you put
They're very observant.
I would hope so with a beard. Otherwise, it's a whole other surgery.
Right.
If you put in a picture of me 2 or 3 years ago against today, you can see the difference.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I feel like I see the difference. I mean, things are just more defined, you know? So you said you were in if I'm diving in too deep, you were in a relationship for 20 years with a woman.
Right.
And that your orientation was always... You always liked women. So you still like women.
Yes.
So you identify now as a heterosexual male.
Correct.
And how is that? Do you still have that relationship?
No. That relationship has been gone for about 4 or 5 years. But and not related to this at all. But, I always hear people say, "Well, if I take testosterone and I like, then I start to like men. Am I now a guy that likes men and all this?" You like who you like.
Yeah.
And you are who you are. And I don't believe that testosterone changes any of that. I think it may make people, against my opinion, may make people freer to be who they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody changing from female to male and then liking men, I think they had this precursor to like them anyway. I don't believe that testosterone makes you do that. I think you yourself are either more freer or more happier, mm-hmm. and you just do what makes you feel good. I don't believe it changes you sexually to go one way or another. I think you have that predetermined, whichever way you're going, you're going.
And how have family and friends either been supportive or not been supportive? And you said one thing that was very interesting. You said you waited until your parents passed to do this.
It just was the timing.
I mean, you waited a really long time.
Yes, I did. I did. But, you know, it was really more that I could take testosterone. People were doing it. There was data
time
out there.
Yeah.
There, you know, you really could have these surgeries. It really was possible. Back in the 80s, I'm sure there were some people that changed. It's not mm-hmm. new, but it was, for me, the information was so sparse coming to me because of how information was disseminated. So, at this point, I mean, my dad had been gone for a long time, and at this point, my mother, it's now been 6 years, so really, it wasn't even her as much. I mean, because it's only for me, I'm only on this road a little over 2 years. And people say, how come so late in life? Well, why not? You know, I feel young, and, you know, I lived a life that I didn't want to live for quite a long time, and now, from this point forward, going out, I want to live it the way and make up for the last 50 years.
Wow. And how have your friends reacted?
That's a very interesting story. I've got friends that have supported me through it, and I've got friends that couldn't wrap their head around it. And friends I've known for 30, 40 years, which to me is a shock because I'm still who I am.
Yeah.
I'm still the basic core. I'm still the basic person. Okay, I look a little different. But if you were liking me because of my looks, then okay, fine. But if you were liking
me... You should like him for his looks, by the way.
But if you're liking me for my brain or whatever I am as the person that I am, the human being, then it shouldn't be a big deal.
Right.
And, you know, there are people that... I've met during that process mm-hmm. who've been, at least to my face, very receptive. You don't know what people, you can't talk for people,
right.
You know, what they say behind your back. But I have not encountered anything really, really bad. I mean, if they don't want to be there to support me, then, just, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for you, and I'm not going to to carry your baggage. Yeah. I've got my own.
I feel like, I mean, obviously I didn't know you that well, you know, as a woman, but to me, you're much easier. I mean, you were a tough woman, right?
Right.
Am
yeah.
I right?
Yeah.
And that was a big problem
because in the corporate life and everything like that, I was the wrong personality and the wrong body, and it hurt me a lot in corporate life.
I'm sure.
And now everything is aligned, and I still have to get used to people calling me sir, for real. You know, they used to call me sir my whole life, but for real now. You know, I'm turning around, who is that? Who are they talking to?
But, they called you sir as a woman?
Oh, all the
as
time.
A joke? Or
no, that's because that's the way I came across to people, as a hard-looking, you know, gay woman. You know, it's because I was meant to be a guy, and that's it. And the one thing I know that
no, it's true. I mean, you're a really tough woman, but you can be a soft man. I mean, I don't mean soft, but you know, you can be sort of a. I don't know. It's interesting. No, it is. It's.
Listen, because my personality, my core is who it is. I just feel more comfortable. I my whole personality is not going to change.
Right.
But I just feel more comfortable, and I've had it easier than some of the younger people coming up today because, first off, I've been through college, I've done it. I don't have to worry about that. I've been through the corporate world, I've done it. I don't have to worry about, you know, bosses getting fired and just all the things that people, unfortunately, who are transitioning at earlier ages have to deal with, mm-hmm. you know, maybe moving to a different town or changing friends. I'm my own man now, and I'm luckier in that respect. And if people don't want to be a part of my life, see you later. Nothing hangs on the bag for me as to whether someone likes me or they're going to fire me because I work for myself. You know, in those respects, I'm luckier.
You know, in so many ways, you are. I mean, I don't think many. I mean, in some ways, you've spent so many years kind of working this out, and I think, I mean, you were really ready. Really ready.
Can this go faster?
right. And on the other hand, there are certainly huge advantages of doing this process at a much, much younger age. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about your surgery. We'll answer calls. And we're talking about transgender issues.
Is Dr. Radio, Sirius XM 81, and on the Sirius XM app for smartphones.
Welcome back to the Plastic Surgery Show. I'm Dr. Alexis Hazen. We are live from NYU Langone Medical Center. I'm really happy to be back here after the hurricane. We were closed for a while, and now we're almost fully up and running. Next week, the ORs are going to open up and inpatient. And I'm here with SJ, and we're talking about transgender issues. And if you have a comment or a question or are out there and scared and want to share your feelings with us, we're happy to hear about them. We're not trying to be experts on everything. We're just talking from the heart. We're live, and you can call us. And our number is 1-877-698-3627. So we were talking about timing for surgery and what to do. And before we even do that, passing. What does passing mean?
Passing.
People always talk about this.
Passing means, well, years ago, and I'm not great with dates, but years ago, before you could even transgender, you could change your gender, you had to live in the world as a male for 2 years before they would do any surgery. That's changed. I think it's 3 months in therapy, and then, you know, if the therapist believe that you're mentally ready to go through this long, arduous process. They write letters, and for you to be able to take testosterone, you have to find an endocrinologist, if that's what you want to do. I mean, again, there's a spectrum of people who are transgender. Not everybody takes testosterone. Not everybody goes through surgery. Some people want to do it. Some don't. Some only want top surgery. Some don't want bottom surgery. You know, it's really, this is almost like one from column A, column B. You can
right.
pick and choose whatever suits you, because it's that individual.
Right. And for you, you started taking testosterone. Your body started changing. Then you started dressing like a man, or
no,
you were already
always.
Like
you couldn't, and you know, if any of my family's listening, they'll attest to that. But you couldn't find one feminine thing anywhere near me or in my closet. When I was 4 years old, I ripped that dress off, and that was the end of it.
Never.
My mother would tell you if she was alive.
So what if you were? Did your parents like force you to wear dresses?
Well, when I was 3 or 4 years old, and in those days it was dresses with crinolines, you know, like the things that.
Okay.
I do remember when I was 4 years old wearing my dad's tie to the doctor's office. Just certain things you remember, you know.
Yeah. And did your parents
I was lucky. My dad said to my mother, let her do what she wants. I was very lucky. I guess I had very open-minded parents, and yet, you know, my mother came from a small town in Pennsylvania. My father came from New York. But, you know, I was just very lucky. I'm religious in the sense that I was brought up Jewish, mm-hmm. and I observe the traditions, but...
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
A little bit late.
Yes, thank you. But it didn't play, for me, it's not where religion got into the role where, you know, the religion says you can or you can't. It didn't get into it, because I'm a believer that, you know, life's not a dress rehearsal. You have one life, and you got to make the best of it. And I'm really in fourth gear trying to make up for...
Lost time.
Lost time.
So, now you had somewhat of a special circumstance in that you have a strong family history of breast cancer, and when you were thinking about any kind of surgery on your chest to basically make your chest look like a male, you wanted it done a certain way.
Well, I had a reduction 10 or 12 years ago, and they wouldn't reduce it down to nothing, so...
Is that why you had the reduction?
No, I just had it because I was falling over myself everywhere I went. it was enough already.
Right.
I didn't want it.
Right.
Get rid of it, you know?
Right.
When I did the DI, the double incision, or the top surgery, or the mastectomy, you know, and I'll clarify that in a minute, I wanted to go. I live near New York, so I wanted to go to New York. There's many surgeons all over the country that are just as good, but I was concerned... I didn't want any breast tissue left. I wanted to make sure that I was removed from a breast surgeon. And because, you know, they'll all tell you that as good as they are, there's always a slight percent that they just can't get. And that goes for everybody, really. So I didn't want any trouble down the road. And so I came to NYU to have the surgery done by a breast doctor, and that's how I met you, because you did all the beautiful scar work on me. And so, I mean, for me, because I was larger than some people, it was what they call a double incision. You know, it's mastectomy. It's not the peri where they just remove the nipple and just take out the inside and put the nipple back. There are a lot of different surgeries based on the size of the breast that you're trying to remove.
And right. And also based on your risk profile. So, you know,
right.
if somebody has absolutely no risk of breast cancer and they're going to be closely followed, it's one thing to leave some breast tissue behind in the form you were talking about, leaving the nipple attached as a pedicle. And
yeah, because you and I had that conversation, because
right.
I didn't want you to cut them off, but you had to do what you had to do.
And that is, it's certainly a technique that's used. There are a lot of advantages to that, because
right.
it actually, you can maintain sensation.
Right.
It generally can look a little better because you don't get hollowed out. But in patients who have, you know, significant, what we call a significant family risk of breast cancer, or you know, are genetically positive for breast cancer or a whole host of things, it's really not wise to leave any breast tissue behind.
Right.
And because then it's something, testosterone can increase your risk of breast cancer, and so it's something that, you know, would always be a concern.
Correct.
So you had that surgery done.
Correct.
And now you're thinking about having what we call bottom surgery?
Right, phalloplasty.
Phalloplasty. So that means basically making a penis.
Correct.
Right? So, and you're looking into it?
Oh, I've looked into it, and there are many...
I know the answer to this. He's looked into it a lot.
You know, there's a lot of different techniques and surgeries out there, and everybody's different for what they want and what they require. Whether you want a UL hookup, which is the urethra, which will allow you to pee through the...
He's literally like an expert. UL hookup. I love it.
Well, that's what they call it.
Right.
I'm using the jargon.
Right,
anybody
right,
out
right.
there in the world knows
right.
that. But, you know, you correct me
right.
if I'm wrong.
No,
but,
you're right.
That's where there are complications, and everybody's different. There are people that have gone through it, and they've come through with no fistulas, no sores, no blockage, and it works. And there are people that have had issues, and they keep going back, and they try and get it straight, and everybody's different. Some people are able to take it to the tip of the penis. Some only can take it to the middle of the penis. Everybody is different, and I say this from my point of view, that each person getting surgery,
right.
you know, no matter how many times the doctor performs that same surgery, it's a new person, a new case, and a new operation almost all over again, even
yeah.
though they've done them 100, 200, 300 times.
Right.
And I mean, there's doctors very competent in this country that'll do it. There are people in Belgium, there are the UK, Serbia is one of the biggest. Mm-hmm. People go to Thailand now.
Would you go there? I mean, would you fly someplace to have surgery?
No.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with anybody in the third world countries, and I say that nicely, I don't mean that bad. There's great surgeons abroad, and I think a lot of the surgeons in the U.S. have learned from those people as
Absolutely.
Well. And there's a new doctor coming to this country in San Francisco, Dr. Crane, who's very well qualified, and people are talking about him, and a lot of people are happy to have somebody in the United States. It's just me, I want to be home. If something happens to me, I want to be able to be close to my doctor. I don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you have to get a urologist on board in the States, and if
Right.
something happens, you have to come back. And I've been very, 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 I underscore that, lucky that the people that are in my medical sort of area, all my doctors, haven't looked at me with three eyes, haven't, thrown me out of the office, haven't given me strange looks. And there are doctors that do that, unfortunately. But the ones I've been around have been great. And I just don't want to go through that.
Yeah.
Deal through going through security at the airports and all the stuff. There's, you know, some people have had problems, some people don't have problems, and then possibly come back here and have to have someone fix someone else's surgery.
Right.
But there are a lot of people that go to Serbia and they've got great results. They get great results at the UK. And people are, you know, extremely happy. And I'm happy for those people because it's a long, arduous surgery.
Do you, let me reintroduce, you're listening to Dr. Radio. I'm Dr. Alexis Hazen. I'm talking with SJ about transitioning from female to male and the surgery he's already been through and the potential surgery in the future. If you have questions or comments for us, you can call us at 1-877-698-3627. Do you feel that this is something you definitely will do, or are you just going to wait until it's just right?
Well, I don't know what just right means, and I'm not 30, so I can't wait until it's just right. I don't, you know.
So you're not going to wait till you're 80 to do it?
No. I was born a woman. I want to die a man, and that's
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it's around the corner. I'm thinking about doing it in 2013. I've got all the things I have to move out of the way, and unfortunately, this is a surgery that insurance doesn't cover, and
it's expensive.
It can run the gamut from $20,000 up to $80,000, depending on what you're doing. And let's not forget that a phalloplasty isn't just a phalloplasty. There's total hysterectomy that has to be done most of the time. There's the scrotoplasty. There's, you know, people close the vagina. There's
right.
there's so many different surgeries going on to just build that one final result that a lot of times you're in surgery 8-10 hours, and some of them do it in 2-3 stages, yeah. And you have to heal and come back. So it's a major thing. It could take maybe 6 months to 2 years to complete, and now I'm hearing that some people are doing it in one stage. And you know, there are doctors that will create the phallus, and it'll be cosmetic, you know, with scrotum, and there'll be no UL hookup. But like, should you be standing naked?
Yeah, meaning that you can't pee through it.
Right. Should you be standing naked? You, for all intents and purposes, you look like a man.
Yeah.
And there are people that want to go that route and don't want any of the internal part hookups. They're perfectly fine to sit and pee or you know, mm-hmm. do whatever.
So is there, and this is probably a ridiculous question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there something about peeing standing up? I mean, that's like very significant to you?
Yeah, it is, because it symbols a man. I mean, it symbolizes a man. But there's STP devices out there, which is stand to pee devices that you can use that you can use without having the phalloplasty or pre-phalloplasty, or if you never mm-hmm. get it, that you can stand and go to the bathroom. I do that, but you know, I go in stalls. I don't want people to see
right.
my business, and I would do that anyway. It's my business.
You right, know? Right. So do you? So you go? You use male bathrooms?
I have to. You know, when I didn't trans. But I didn't trans, people kept looking at me, what are you doing in that bathroom? And I would say, I belong here.
In the female bathroom.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, yeah, I'm laughing because he has not a full beard, but a beard and a mustache. So, you know, if you did see him in a female.
You'd be calling the police.
So, back to your friends and family. So, do they still have a hard time referring to you as he and using your male name? And
yeah, that's you know.
Does
the male name?
You?
The male name. They're getting used to. I think it's the pronouns. It's not the name, because your family doesn't call you by your name as much as they call you by pronouns,
that's
especially
true.
Like when you're
yeah.
with them.
Yeah.
And you know, I have relatives will say, you're always going to be this way to me, and I'm going to call you that.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, but when we're in public and you call me that, you can jeopardize my life.
Yeah.
Because there could be somebody around the corner waiting to beat me up, like, what's going on, you know. And I mean, that's not me talking from a paranoid point of view. It's just reality.
No, it is reality. It's reality. So I was going to ask you about that. Are you political at all about this? And do you feel like there's a need to be? I mean, you know, you've talked a little bit about how, you know, people are sort of uncomfortable with this, how there is hatred, how people might, you know, how there's certain places you couldn't live.
Yeah. I mean,
or
I'm
do
not
you feel like it's just very personal?
Well, political in the sense that people should let people live, and if we all had tolerance in this world, it'd be a great world. But that being said, you know,
you're like, okay, but since that's not possible, let's.
Well, you know, I think you should be able to live your life, and it's really nobody's business. But unfortunately, people make it their business, and you know why people do what they do. I can't answer for them. I'm not going to stand on a political platform. The only thing that I can say personally, maybe because of where I am in life, that you know I'd be willing to help anybody I could coming up underneath me, because I know what it was like, you know, back then. And it's far easier today in some respects, because the world is a little more open
mm-hmm.
to it. It's not perfect, but it is far greater and better than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if I can help anybody or talk to anybody, you know, just whatever, I'm more open to do that.
Do you have anybody helping you or guiding you? Who had been through this, or who
no.
you could look to? No.
No. No.
So you just sort of.
I'm the kind of person that, like, you know, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it.
Right.
My personality is strong enough that, you know, if I find out as much information as I need, is it the whole story? No. But it's enough that satisfies me to make the decision. I'll make it, I'll stand by it, right or wrong, and I go forward. I mean, are there issues with taking testosterone? Probably. I'm fighting right now a high hemoglobin. You and I talked about
yeah.
that. It's a little bit higher than I'd like. I'm stopping testosterone just for the month to check it out. That happens. You know,
yeah.
we have to figure it out. But any other side effects, as far as I know. Everything else is good, and I watch my weight, and I do what I have to do, and I'm not stupid about it, but, you know, I now have to be looked at from the GP point of view as a man, and you look at men differently than you look at women.
Absolutely. I mean, now you have the risk profile of a man.
Right.
It's different.
Exactly.
Have you been, I don't know, ostracized? Have you been insulted? Have you ever been felt either threatened or anything?
No. I mean, through my life, of course, you know. But no, transitioning, no. And again, I think it's because what I stated before, I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in some of those social positions mm-hmm. where someone would out you, which, you know, it can be a dangerous place for people to be. So I would think sometimes in the younger crowd, because they're finding themselves out, they're doing what they're doing, and I think that it is a place sometimes where people can get in a lot of trouble, especially starting new jobs and doing what they have to do. I mean, I changed everything legally, but now, you know, with the internet, there's a trail.
Yeah.
You know, if there was no internet, there wouldn't be a trail. Like, if I had to get a job today and they went back and go, wait a minute, this was not your name now, it was this, because there's a trail from the internet and everything that everybody can get on you, there could be some issues.
Right.
Because I have a longer paper trail than kids that are younger.
Right. And are you working now?
Yes.
And do you like your job?
Yes.
But you were in the corporate world.
Oh, I was in the corporate world a long time ago, yeah. I haven't been in the corporate world for about 10 years.
I had a question about the corporate world. So you said it was difficult being sort of...
Yeah, it was.
You never really... I mean, being a woman in the corporate world then was hard anyway.
Right. And, you know, because I didn't fit the woman mold. And there's the boys' club and the men's club, and everybody knows all about it. And it was more like... I would make suggestions, and they'd poo-poo me, and then my peer, he would sit next to me and make the same suggestion. They go, oh, what a great idea. And I'm like, you know, that's it. You know, I got tired of that, and I walked away from that. I'm not, you know, life is too short. Here's your solutions. This is what it's all about. I'm not a political player at all.
Yeah.
I want to move on and do things. I want to fix this and go on and do what I can and not waste time with all the political nonsense that goes on in every world. I'm just unique that way, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but, and it's been hard. It's been the square peg in the round hole for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a team player, but you know what, if you're going to not take me for my brains and gloss over me, I got to go somewhere else. I can't.
Right.
I'm not going to win that battle, and I might as well walk away.
Right.
And not as a loser, but just put my energy and effort somewhere where it's going to do good.
Right. If you had to do it all over again, would you have transitioned younger?
Absolutely.
And what would you have needed to know? Like, what's your advice to young people now who are kind of thinking about this? Or, and I know that, and this is just you, your advice. You're not, making...
It is my advice, but, you know, the thing is, there are so many variations today, you know. You're not just gay, or you're not just straight, you're not just man or female. There's the gender queer. There's everybody that as far as whatever gender means, there's just so much out there that I think what people need to do is try, which is the hardest thing. Figure out who you are. What do you really want to do? And I think when transitioning, it's not an all or nothing.
Right.
You know, I mean, if I wanted to stop taking testosterone, you know, all the hair would stop.
Yeah.
I think the only resonant piece I'd have less is the lower voice, which is a permanent change. But the rest would all go back.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly couldn't get my hair back, but I would stop losing it. if I have any left.
He's got a full head of hair, just for the listeners. So, but
had.
You do. It's a little thinning in the front, a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Barely. But you would find out about it. And they're
out there. I mean, I know, like, you know, Yahoo has a lot of FTM groups.
Female to male.
Female to male groups that you can... search and, you know, become a part of, whether it's the metoidioplasty or phalloplasty or top surgery. There's many, many people from all over the world that chime in and try, and we try and help each other out. They're tremendous, tremendous support groups. And
have you found that useful?
Yeah. For your yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you, I mean, is there an ideal age to do this? In your opinion?
In my opinion, it's when you're young, when you're very young, especially like for men that want to be females, because they can block the hormones, they can block a lot of the puberty things that the boys go through, like the Adam's apple, all the things that become male characteristics, they can block that. And that the men, you know, transitioning to women, can have a better go at it.
Yeah.
They can somehow come out on the other side looking more female in stature.
Right.
I think that's hard for men who trans later.
And I think that's a really good point, because with females who transition to males, they have such a huge hormonal response that they really, you can really look very masculine.
Right.
And there's no, you know, there's no sort of hints of a formal life.
Right.
Whereas the other way, once you've developed those, what we call those secondary sexual characteristics, like a big jaw, an Adam's apple, you know, larger hands, all sorts of things that we associate with being male, if you start taking estrogen after those things have developed, they're not going to go away.
Right.
And then you can change some of them with surgeries. Like
right.
There's, you know,
yes,
there's surgery to,
stuff like that.
You know.
But you can spend your whole life. You know, most people plan for vacation, and most of us
right.
are planning our next surgery. You know, that's
right.
our life. We're saving for a surgery. We're not saving to go to Florida or the Bahamas. I mean, and that's, and people don't understand that, but that's what we're, most people are all about until they feel they're done for themselves, and they can go on and now plan, you know, to give to their family, because a lot of people are married or wherever else, you know, they happen to be.
So this is your opinion.
That's right.
It's and is there an age that's too young? I mean, if a kid knows, like if they just know, and I've spoken to many patients who said, and their parents say, it's two,
well,
three.
Again, I think we're just in a better time and place where I think younger kids are able to voice that. And I also think that a lot of parents listen because it's out there. They've heard about it. It's out there. In my day, you know, it wasn't talked about. You didn't hear about it. So, like, oh, it's just a phase.
Yeah.
You know, she's a tomboy and she'll outgrow it. But a lot of these kids just say, you know, I'm a boy, I'm a girl, or whichever it is. And they need to at least be listened to, and they need to try and get them to the right counseling and guidance and, you know, help them. And they'll make their decision in time, you know, the parents and with the children.
Right. You've been listening to Dr. Radio. Thank you so much. Our time is up, pretty much. And I'm just really pleased that you were here to start this
Thank
conversation,
you.
And hopefully we'll keep it going. And I hope our listeners found it interesting, and also, you know that there is help, and I don't even want to say there's help, but there's a conversation going on about this all over, and to just start talking about it. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And happy holiday to you. And we'll have you back again if you'll come.
Absolutely.
Especially after your next surgery, we want to hear about it.
Okay.
2013, right?
Yeah.
You are listening to Dr. Radio. And we're wishing you a very, very happy holiday and a happy new year and a fantastic 2013. Yikes. It's scary.